And we'll excuse our young people for junior church. I have a question for you this morning. How do you feel about Thanksgiving? How do you feel about Thanksgiving? I'd like to read what the Lord said about it. You'll find it in Leviticus 22. Leviticus 22. Beginning at verse 29. And when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. On the same day it shall be eaten up, and ye shall leave none of it until the morrow. I am the Lord. So God ordained a thanksgiving. In the book of Leviticus, God gave Moses all the instructions and laws that would make it possible to mankind, in particular Israel, to be able to interact with the God who had adopted them as his particular people. There's quite a bit of teaching in these two verses. Since we're approaching Thanksgiving week, and since we're going to enjoy Thanksgiving dinner this morning after the service, we need to review what God said about Thanksgiving to his people. In verse 29, God told the people that Thanksgiving must be personal and voluntary. It is not something that is compulsory. We can try and teach our children to be grateful, but genuine gratitude must come from the heart and not the mind. In other words, our heart should initiate the response, not our mind telling us that courtesy requires a thank you. Most of the time, our response of thank you is a habit. We've been conditioned to say thank you. Somebody holds the door open for us, thank you. It's not supposed to come from here. Real thanksgiving comes from the heart. And it always has. That's the way God intended it to be. It's a habit, normally, and a matter of courtesy that we say thank you or thanks to people who do things for us. And this is not the thanksgiving that God intended. Not what he was talking about when he gave Moses his instructions to give to the people of Israel. Thanksgiving was one of the sacrifices that God gave to the nation Israel. It was to be a planned out event in the life of the people of God. There were certain things that had to be offered to God in the way of sacrifice. And it wasn't just words as it is today. The offering was made to God, not to another person who would promise some kind of service or perform some kind of service. God does so much for each of us by sending just the right people into our lives when they're needed. People to help us. People to sometimes encourage us. But the one thing we need to understand is God is the one who's doing the sending. God is the one who is doing the sending. He sends people into our lives to help us and to accomplish what he wants accomplished in our lives. It's proper and courteous to thank them, but we need to understand that God put them there. If you will think back to your life, years back, God sent people into your life to help you just do the right thing at the right time. Now, God is only going to send good things to us through his will. The bad things that happen are either permitted by God for a purpose, or they are something that have to do with evil intended by our enemy to hurt us. They didn't originate with God because God does not hurt us. God loves us. We opened with two verses from Leviticus 22, and I want to read them again. Leviticus 22, verses 29 and 30. And when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. On the same day it shall be eaten up, and you shall leave none of it until the morrow. I am the Lord. Now that may seem like a strange request. If you're going to offer a thanksgiving offering, it is to be eaten up that day. So, folks, nobody leaves the church until we get done with all that food that's going to be down there on those tables. There's a reason for that. And I want you to understand what the reason is. God wants us to be thankful the day that we receive the things we're thankful for, and not wait till the next day to do the thanking, because the next day God plans to pour out something more into our life that we can thank him for. So the thanking is just a perpetual thing for him. We thank him for what he's done for us today, and tomorrow we thank him for what he's going to do for us tomorrow. And sometimes, even if we don't think about it, we can thank him for what he hasn't done, but what he's going to do for each of us. Thank him in advance. Now, thanksgiving was one of the sacrifices that God gave to the nation of Israel. It was to be a planned out event in the life of the people of God. God's only going to send good things. Nothing in God's word is meaningless. Every sentence has a meaning and a purpose. Verse 29 tells us that thanksgiving should be done because we desire to do it. It should be voluntary. Verse 30 tells us there's more coming tomorrow. Verse 30 is a verse filled with hope. We're to be sure we don't hold any of this thankfulness back, but that we give it all to God that day. Because the next day, we're going to be blessed by God again. Either the same way, or he may do something different for us, and we are going to need to thank him again. Remember that thanksgiving must be offered at our will. It must be voluntary, not just a habit, not just a cliche that we say to people. I guess the next thing that I would like for us to do is analyze thanksgiving for just a minute or two. There are two things that we are told to do by God that have disastrous consequences if we don't do them. Two things God wants us to do. If we don't do them, it will wind up with disastrous consequences. One of the things that God tells us to do is hard to do. And the other is sometimes overlooked or dismissed as not important. The two things go together. Though you may not ever have considered them together, the first thing is forgiveness. Forgiveness has to go along with thanksgiving. Choosing not to do either one of these will develop bitterness of heart. If you don't forgive, if you are not thankful for what God permits in your life, it will result in a root of bitterness growing up. Many times, people forget or they fail to forgive. And that plants a seed of bitterness in the heart. Or they fail to see what God is attempting to achieve in their lives, and they are unthankful to God for his love, and they don't thank him. And that plants a seed of bitterness also. Either way, bitterness takes root in the heart of the person who has not forgiven and who is not thankful. Paul gives us a warning in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. When we fail to see God's grace in a situation, we fail to thank him, and the same thing happens. Paul also told God's people what to do with bitterness for the sake of their testimony. In Ephesians 4, verses 30 through 32, Ephesians 4, verses 30 through 32, it tells us, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Bitterness always grieves the Holy Spirit. And if you find that the Holy Spirit of God is not leading you, or if you find bitterness in your heart, then confess it to God, and he will forgive you, and you can rid yourself of that bitterness. Many times, others will see that bitterness in your eyes, since the eye is the window of the soul. You may not even be aware of the bitterness, but it radiates from you and from your life and will be evident to others. When you find it, deal with it, just like it is a sin that it is. Paul told us in Acts 8:23, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Bitterness, folks, is a sin. Thanksgiving is promoted throughout the Word of God. Many of the Psalms encourage us to give thanks. Psalm 26:7 says, that I may publish with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. And folks, that's our job. Let's tell the world how God is treating us. Let's tell the world how good God is. We read in Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. I like and think about Psalm 95:2. Psalm 95:2 tells us, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. There are many more psalms that deal with thanksgiving, but let's look at one more command. This is a command, Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth unto all generations. There's a verse in that Connie introduced me to a number of years ago. It has been a blessing to me countless times. I've memorized it, and it applies to many different situations. God's word can be such a comfort to us in times of trouble, can give us peace in our hearts, even in times of trouble. The verse that she shared with me is Psalm 4, 6 and 7. Without you looking up, do you know what it says? Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. It tells us, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7 tells us, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul tells us that the secret of living close to God, we should pray our way through life. Pray our way through life. Now, I'll have to admit that I don't always do that. There are times, and I know none of you people would do this, but there are times when I just blindly charge ahead and do something dumb or stupid. When the consequences finally catch up with me, I lament my actions. But by that time, I'm already in deep trouble. Philippians 4:6 is not telling us that we should not think about a thing before we do it. No, it's telling us that everything we do should be bathed in prayer. Everything we do should be bathed in prayer. We'll keep our hearts and minds at peace. We should also be thanking God in advance for the outcome of a situation. God has everything planned out for all of us. The result of this kind of living will keep peace in your heart. When you're living this way, you'll not wake up in the middle of the night and find your mind racing. Ever done that? Wake up, wide awake, can't go back to sleep. 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Some of you will get older and you'll do start doing that. The solution for that is prayer to the Lord, and soon you'll have peace again. That is of all your prayer, as long as the sin has been dealt with properly. If you spend a portion of the night in earnest prayer, you may be losing sleep, but you're also spending time with God. And we don't do that often enough. We need to spend more time with God, talking to Him and letting Him talk to us. I shared with the Sunday school class this morning. I knew on Monday that I was going to have to teach Sunday school today. And so I thought, what kind of a lesson can I bring? And I went all through Monday, and I couldn't come up with a lesson. I went all through Tuesday, and I couldn't come up with a lesson. And I went all through Wednesday and Thursday, and nothing was comfortable for me. I had no peace in my heart. And I knew I've got to teach Sunday school on Sunday morning. And I was praying every day to the Lord, Lord, show me what you would have me do. Friday came and went, no Sunday school lesson. I was thinking, what am I going to do? Show a movie or what? I've got to do something. 1 o'clock, Saturday morning, an hour after midnight, the Lord gave me the Sunday school lesson. What a relief. So yesterday I prepared a Sunday school lesson. Amongst the way God planned. Yesterday afternoon, about 5 o'clock, we had 4 sheriff patrol cars out here. We had an EMS unit out here. And Janice was calling to see if everything was okay, because she had seen it as she was going out or coming in. We had a young man come here who was really strung out on drugs. And I dealt with him, tried to talk to him about the Lord, tried to take him someplace where he could get some help. I finally took him off the property, gave him some food. Diana fixed up a bag of food for me, and I delivered him where he said he wanted to go. That afternoon he came back. In the morning he had been fully dressed, shirt, t-shirt, shoes, socks, pants. That afternoon he had no shirts, he had no shoes and socks. He was still strung out. He had weapons this time, things he had picked up that he could defend himself with. No peace, folks. And I didn't call the sheriff department, the school did, because he came in through the school in the afternoon. And one of the police officers had a confrontation with him, wrestled him to the ground out here in front of the church, and he was arrested and taken to jail. I was trying to do my Sunday school lesson. God has a way of taking care of us. He has a way of taking care of you. We have people that we love, and you and I are loved by these people. That's because of God. We have a place to live, and God is the one providing that. We have food to eat, and in a few minutes we're going to sit down together, and some of us are probably going to overeat. We're going to enjoy a great meal. God has provided that. God has made it possible for our ladies to be cooks and have a place to cook things, to prepare different foods. We should be thanking God for that in advance. What would any of us do if we didn't have God to direct our steps? We all should be grateful to God for the life that He has given to us. We live in a nation where we have liberty to do what does not hurt or injure someone else. There is one more thing that we have to be grateful for, and I would like to spend a few minutes thinking about that thing. The thing that I think we may fail to thank our God for is hope. Hope. The young man yesterday had none. We have that hope. The rest of the world doesn't have that. We have true hope. Oh, the world has false hope. But without the Lord Jesus Christ, they can't have real hope. We find hope mentioned in the book of Romans, in life's normal progression. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Good passage to memorize starting at verse 1. But at beginning at verse 3 of Romans 5, it says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Folks, we hope. We have hope. God sends us hope. Have you ever thanked God for all the hope that He has poured into your life? Hope is something that every Christian can have with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have hope that tomorrow will be better than today. Not that today is bad, but we can hope to see someone saved as a result of our witnessing. We can hope that we can serve the Lord according to His will. The world can't hope for that because they don't know the Lord Jesus. God is the one who gives us hope. Without God giving us hope, we would not know what hope was. Romans 8, 24 and 25 tells us, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." The hope that God gives us is real. It is not false, as the world hope is. We know God, and we know also that we can ask anything from God, and He is capable of giving it. Is anything too hard for God? Who else can we go to for hope? Who will you pray to for hope other than God? When is the last time you thanked God for hope? Thanksgiving is a special time in our lives. When we were young, we were excited about the crowd and family and good friends that would come together. We remember our inner excitement and the anticipation of scrumptious things to eat, and special things to do, games and activities, interacting with one another. We were too young to understand the real meaning of Thanksgiving. Now that we're older, Thanksgiving is a time of being with the people that are important to us. We do give God thanks for making them a part of our life. Thanksgiving is more about love than excitement. And we anticipate spending special time with our loved ones. For some of us, there's not going to be a gathering of family and friends like we experienced in the past, because our families have now become extended families and they're scattered all over the country, all over the world. The original intent was to thank God for all that he had provided for each one of us. And that's the real meaning of thanksgiving for you and I today. Thanksgiving becomes a time of closeness with those we love most, and we can express our gratitude to God for putting that person in our life, each one that he has given us. Oh, how grateful I am to God that he has not left us alone, but has given us someone to love and someone to be loved by. I'm truly thankful for God's grace in sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die for our sin, so that when this life is over, we who know Christ can be with all the ones we love and know with him also. The day is coming, folks, when we will all be gathered before his throne. And that is the hope that we can have that the world will never know. Father, we come before you this morning to thank you. And we're going to fellowship together, partake of food that you have provided. We're going to fellowship, and we're going to love one another. What a great time of blessing, Father. Thank you for providing it. We would ask that you would bless our time that we spend together after this service. And Father, may your will be done in each of our hearts. And we will praise you for all the things that you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Open your hymnals to 417. Stand with me as we sing the closing service tonight, this morning. 417, Jesus is tenderly calling.
Jesus is tenderly calling me home. Calling today, calling today. I from the sunshine of love will bow roam, farther and farther away. Calling today, today. Calling today, today. Jesus is calling today, is tender. Is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed, he will not turn thee away. Calling today, calling today. Waiting, oh come to